Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bofa Metzia Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find at the top of Daf Kuf Tes. The Mishnah: Hamakabel Soda Mechaveroi Lishonim Muotois. One who receives a field to cultivate on behalf of the owner for limited years. Shonim Muotois, a few years. Really, it means less than 7 years. Lo Yizrena Pishton. Do not cultivate in the field Pishton, flax. Rashi explains that flax draw a great amount of nutrients from the soil, and the soil doesn't regenerate, doesn't return to its original potential until the passage of 7 years. And this worker isn't going to be there for that amount of time. Therefore, it's not allowed for him to decide to develop, cultivate Pishton. Rashi also adds, as he has been doing throughout the perek, that this Mishnah has relevance only with regard to Hakirus, with the arrangement whereby a worker pays an objective amount to the owner as opposed to a sharecropper. In the case of a sharecropper, the owner and the worker divide a percentage. And in that case, it doesn't matter what he plants, the worker and the owner share in that crop, I'd say equally or in accordance with the custom of the area. So for our purposes, though, Rashi makes that distinction, and the Mishnah goes on. Ve'ein lo b'kuris shikma. If in the field that he is cultivating there is a shikma tree. The shikma tree is a non-fruit-bearing tree which is used primarily for its wood value. The branches would be cut and made into beams. Within 7 years, the branches don't grow to the thickness and size that's suitable for beams. Therefore, if he received the field for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to remove the beams from the shikma tree. We continue in the Mishnah. Kibla Heimenu Lezayin Shonim. If he did receive it for 7 years, then Shona Rishona Yizrena Pishton, the first year that he is there, he has the option of planting Pishton, and Vieshlo Bekor Shikma, and likewise he can cut the branches of the Shikma tree. The Rashi on the third narrow line says, Hilkoch kiblo lepochus mizayin shonim. Therefore, if the worker received it for less than 7 years, in other words, his license for cultivating the field is less than 7 years, lo yokutz kuros sheba, he shall not cut off the branches of the shikma tree growing in that field that he is cultivating. The lava daita de kuros nochis. When he took the job, he didn't take it with the intention of receiving those branches. The bishonim u'otos einom choizim lekoros. Within such a short amount of time, within less than 7 years, the branches don't regenerate to koros size, to beam size. Avol kiblo lezayin shonim. If he did receive it to work on it. He got a license from the owner to work, cultivate the field for 7 years. Shana Rishona, Zora Pishtan. That first year, he can plant it with Pishtan. And we understand that by the end of his tenure there, the field will have regenerated. The Kaitzit Shana Rishona, Shikma Sheba, and likewise, the first year that he is there, he can cut off the branches, because at the end of his tenure there, the branch, whatever he had cut off, will have regenerated. Before we continue in the Gemara text, we glance at the side in the margin, taking advantage of one of the special features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim, the Nosei, the topic heading. And in the margin it says, Machlokes Abaye v'Rava, we'll see a disagreement between Abaye and Rava, whose names, by the way, are circled in the Gemara text. B'mi shekibel sode mechavero b'pochos mizayin shanim, someone who received working rights on a field for less than 7 years. D'ein lo b'koros hashikma. The Mishnah established already, he doesn't have a right to the branches of the shikma tree. Hayim yesh lo b'shevach shenishtabcha ha'etz b'meshach hashanim. Does he, however, have a right to the increased value of the tree during the years that he is, in fact, there? In other words, everyone will agree that the tree increases in size between the first year and, let's say, he's there for 5 years. So after 5 years, he then leaves the field. Can he say, look, when I entered the field, the tree was worth X amount. Now, after 5 years, the tree is worth more? That increased value, does the worker have a right to insist on being paid for that, or receiving a share of that? So, Abaye will say in the Gemara, we'll see in the Gemara, according to Abaye, Islay Shevach, he does have a right to the increased value. And the Rava, Leslie, according to Rava, no. As we will continue in the Gemara text, you'll notice a house marking appears. And under our Mivneh structural note, we explain Kushyos al Rava. These will appear as questions on Rava. Rava said he's not entitled to Shevach, and it will seem from the sources the Gemara quotes that he is entitled to Shevach. Now the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Bekeros Shikmo Einlo. If he received the field for less than 7 years, so we said he doesn't have a right to the actual wood of the shikma tree. The koros literally are the beams, but it's a reference to the branches that he would have cut off the tree and use as beams. So he doesn't have the actual wood because he's there for less than 7 years. B'shevach shikma yeshlo, but the increased value that the tree experiences over the period of time that he is there, that worker is entitled to it. And v'rav amar afilu v'shevach shikma nami ein lo. Not only does the worker not have a right to the wood, but he also has no right to the increased value. Meisvei, we raise a question. A question you'll see will be against Rava. Hamakabel sada mechavero, one who received a field to work on from an owner, v'giyaz manu loses, and the time to depart arrived, shomin lo. Shomin is an expression meaning an assessment is made. My lav, shomin lo b'shevach shikma. The assessment of what? Is it not, in fact, an assessment of the increased value of the shikma tree, and the worker gets that? Lo, not so. That is not what undergoes the assessment, says Rava, but rather shomin lo yarka Vesilka. We make an assessment of the yarka vesilka, vegetables. The Gemara asks, what do you have to make an assessment of the vegetables? Yarka vesilka, nakor v'nishko. Let the worker just, he apparently he was there and cultivated them, let him take them with him. Bidalo mota yoyma deshuka. He's not going to uproot them and take them with him, because what's he going to do with them? What his intention would have been to harvest them and sell them in the market, but market day hasn't arrived. So therefore, he doesn't That's not an option. So what is the option? We assess the value of the, we'll say the increased value of the field with these vegetables that are there. Ta Shema. You notice that we have a bracketed section of Gemara, and the note on the side, the starred note, indicates Achrei Sugrayim, after the brackets, Mofia Loshana Mesukin Shel HaToshma, the more accurate presentation will appear. So, bearing that in mind, if we just skip for a moment, let's just see the question itself before we get involved with the lack of clarity of the original language. Skipping the brackets, we see, it says, Halokeach Soda Mechavero, V'Higia Yovel, someone bought a field, and the Jubilee year arrived. When the laws of Yovel were applicable, people who had purchased fields in the interim have to part with the fields and return them to their original owners. So that's what is described here. Someone bought a field, Yovel came, Shomin Lo, an estimation, an evaluation is made. The Gemara then says, "V'chitemo chinami shomin lo biyarka v'silka." If you're going to suggest that the evaluation is of the yarka v'silka, well, silka v'yarka biyovel hefkerahu. When the yovel year comes, that is considered unowned. It's not something that a worker has a right to. So, what option is left for understanding Shomin Lo? Elolav Shavach Shikma. We see the departure of a field and get returned to an original owner, and what's evaluated? The increased value of the Shikma tree. So, that would be against Rava. Rava says that increased value of Shikma trees, when fields are restored to original owners, worker is not entitled to it. Here we see that the purchaser was parallel to the worker from whom the field is departing, does get the Shevach Shikma. The Gemara then will provide an answer, and interestingly it's Abaye giving the answer on behalf of Rava, his adversary. Before we get into that, let's go over the Gemara now straight through with the bracketed section. Ta Shema. HaMekabel Soda Mechavero V'Higia Shvius Shomin Lo. One received a field to work on and the Shvius year arrives. So then the worker is entitled to an assessment. The impression one receives from this source is that when the Shvius year arrives, the worker then loses the field, and he benefits from an assessment made before the field is returned. But that's simply an inaccuracy. Shvius miko mifko aro. Does the arrival of the sabbatical year undo ownership of land? Eloema, rather, state more accurately, HaMakabel Soda Mechaver V'Gia Yoivel Shomin Lo. As we already know, because we skipped the brackets earlier, one who received a field to work on, and the Yovel arrived. Well, when Yovel comes, we know that fields are returned to original owners. But still, V'Akati, but still there's an inaccuracy here. Yovel mi mifko kablonis. Does the arrival of the Yovel year undo a worker's license to cultivating a field? Not so. Litzmisus Amar Rachmana. The Pasuk mentions in the context of Yovel that fields are not sold litzmisus. Litzmisus means permanent ownership. The Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes it, Va'oretz lo simocher litzmisus. And the land of Israel shall not be sold for in permanence, in a permanent fashion. The Yovel undoes that. Now, what does Yovel then undo? When we say Yovel returns fields, it undoes things or relationships that otherwise would have been permanent. Namely, in theory, had there been no Yovel, so the current owner of the field would have retained it permanently. Well, that applies only to someone that bought a field, not a worker that gets a license to cultivate a field. And that's what the Gemara means here when it says, would Yovel have undone a worker's association with the field? No. Litzmisis onamar achmona. Only that which otherwise would have been a permanent connection to the field, a purchaser. But workers aren't removed from fields when the Yovel comes. Workers, people who are hired to cultivate or given license to cultivate a field, there's no concept of permanence with regard to their tenure. Elo Emo. Rather, restate. And you'll notice now where this is the third presentation of the source. And if you're paying attention, careful attention to the markings, you're noticing which words need to be emphasized at each point. At the first stage, we had dashed the line Shvius, and we said, well, that's inaccurate because Shvius doesn't undo ownership of lands. At the second juncture, we said, okay, change Shvius to Yovel. But still, that was inaccurate because that featured a worker. Now, notice, Elo'emo ha-lokeach sodem mechavero v'gia Yovel. Now, notice how the word lokeach is dashed on the line in addition to the word Yovel. So, shomin lo. And if you contrast this with the original thinking, the original text of the source, you notice we've changed Hamakabel into Alokeach, and we've changed Shvius into Yovel. Oh, so now we have a new picture, a purchaser of a land from his friend, and the Yovel year comes, Shomin Lo. We entitle the purchaser, who is now going to lose the field to the original owner, we entitle him to an assessment. To benefit from an assessment. Well, the chitemol chinami shomin lo biyarkav esilka. And if you want to say that, well, here too, it's an assessment of the vegetable content of the field, and that is what the worker will receive. The purchaser will receive at the point that he has to restore the field to the original owner. But that's not true. Silka v'yarkov, the vegetation, but Yovel hefkerahu. When the Yovel year arrives, it's considered unowned. It's not something that that interim owner would have a right to. Elolav shevach shikma. What is the lokeach, the individual who had interim ownership and is now parting with the field? What is he entitled to? He's entitled to benefit from the increased value of the shikma trees. The increased size, which of course leads to increased value, that he experienced while the trees were in the field that he owned during that ownership period. Then that would be against Rava's approach. Rava's approach is that Sheva Shikma, the people who were there, are not entitled to it. Tirgum Abaye Aliba de Rava. Abaye explains the source in accordance with Rava's understanding of things. Shiny Hossam. There, it is different. Namely, in the case of return of properties during Yovel, the standard we apply is different, based on a posuk. So the Yovel return is governed by a scriptural dictate, and hence the different standard, different from the worker leaving a field. The Omar Krah, the posuk says, V'yotza mimkar bayis, mimkar choser, sales. The item that had been sold to the purchaser, that the sold item is returned. Shevach eino choser. The increased value, as we saw, the thickening and increased size of trees, that doesn't go back to the owner. Rather, the owner has to pay for that to the purchaser. The purchaser was now parting with the property. Question, v'nigmar minei. Why not use that then as a standard? And that a worker also is entitled to Shevach Shikma, which would be, which would then, let's say, reinstate the Kashan Rava. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to learn from that. Hasam, in the case of a purchaser of property that returns it during Yovel, Zvini Ma'al Yahu, he had a full purchase, full ownership of it. The Yovel Afgata de Malkihi, and the Yovel arrival is a Afgata, means an undoing of the ownership, the Malka, of the king, meaning the Almighty dictated thusly. Only because of that does the Lokeach lose ownership, but otherwise it was he had a full-fledged possession of the field, and because of that, the owner is entitled to the Shevach, to the Shevach Shikma. That can't be compared in any way to a mere worker who had a right to the field during his work tenure. Now Rashi comments a few. We're looking at Rashi together in the upper part of the narrow lines. Hosam zvini ma'alya hu v'chol kama de'ashbicha ara. As long as the land was increasing in value, birshusei ashbicha, it was in the possession of that owner, of that purchaser. The ara de hodra mishum de yovel afgata de malkahu. That the fact that the land is returned to the original owner who had it through inheritance, and it's now being returned to that original owner, that's because the Almighty declared thusly, Umay delo poka malka lo mifka, and that which the Almighty did not declare, didn't undo, we don't undo it. So what did the Almighty in the Torah declare reversed? Mimka rifka. He undid the sale. Hava shvacha lo poka. He didn't undo the right to profit, to appreciation of value. And therefore, you can't compare the dinim of Yovel, which entitle the interim owner to the Shevach Shikma, to the case of a worker who leaves within 7 years, who is not entitled, as Rava says, not entitled to the Shevach Shikma. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears. You notice the use of a diamond and a double underline on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. The diamonds introduce Shnei Maisim, two incidents, Shekiblu Sadois Le'avdam, individuals received license to cultivate fields, V'rotsu Tashlum B'shaw Shehistalku Gam Avormai De Kodchuba. There's another marking, the dashed underline. They want payment at the time of their departure from the field for also for that which Kodchuba. That means also plant life that emerged, that sprouted forth, that penetrated above the surface. Now, the Gemara. Rav Papa, Kabil Ara Las Pasta. Rav Papa received a parcel of land to cultivate within it Aspasta. Aspasta is, for our purposes, it's growth for animal feed. Kodchuba Tully. There emerged in this field Tully trees, generally speaking, palm trees. Kikomistalik, when Rav Papa left the field that he had received license to cultivate, Omar Luhu Havu Li Shvacha. He said to them, listen, the field that I received was a field without Tully in it. The field that I'm leaving have Tully in it. I would like to have the increased value. Omer le Rav Shisha brei de Ravidi le Rav Papa. So Rav Shisha turns to Rav Papa and says, Elo me'ata dikla vi'olim hachinami deboi mar shvachei. If you received a tree to cultivate, for its fruit value for whatever number of years. And over the course of those years, you, of course, harvesting the fruits and enjoying them. And the tree increased in size. The trunk became thicker. Would you expect payment for that? Amale. So Rav Papa answers, Hasam lav adaita dafi nochis ana. In that case, if I had purchased, or if I had received rights, license to cultivate trees for their fruit value, I had no intention, no da'as for that, for the increased trunk size of the trees. Hacha adaita dahachi nachisna. But here, where I received a field for cultivation, for cultivating aspasta, my intention really was for anything that grows in the field, including the emergence of the trees. The Gemara asks, Keman, your approach is Ke Abaye, the Omar Beshevach Shikmo Yeshlo? Are you saying that you as a are you're adopting Abaye's approach that a worker who works a field for less than 7 years is entitled for the increased value of the shikma trees? Now, in asking this question, and from basically from the answer, one would get the impression that the nature of the question is: Are you adopting an individual opinion, a minority opinion? So Rav Papa answers, Afilu temo kirava. No, my insistence on receiving payment for the emergence of the trees in the aspasta field that I cultivated conforms to Rava's approach as well. Rava, who in the case of the Shevach Shikmo said worker is not entitled to it, that we saw earlier. Hasam in the Mekabel discussion above with Rav and Abaye, Hasam less lay pseida. There, even if they will say that the worker doesn't get a share in the increased thickness of the Shikmo trees, he doesn't experience any loss. If we take a look at the Rashi, we have a little star in the Rashi. Hasam lesle pseida, kol ma shishbiach shikma, all that which characterized the increased value of the shikma, lo mona mimeno harisha uzria. The worker wasn't restrained or restricted in his plowing and planting options and abilities. Hacha, the Gemara goes on, Hacha ikob seida. But here, in the aspasta field that I accepted to cultivate, that I received license to cultivate, and there emerged in the field, in other words, emerged from below the surface, now protruding above the surface of the field, these trees. As far as I am concerned, for me, there is loss. And by my receiving the increased value, that would serve as compensation. Now, we'll ask, what's the loss? So the Gemara itself goes on to try to understand, what do you mean by a loss? Omar Lei, so he asks, Rav Papa, my pasadetich, what loss do you experience here by the emergence of the fields above the surface of the ground? What's your loss? Yada daspasta. Yada means space or mukum, where the trees are now growing. So you would have otherwise cultivated aspasta. After all, that's what you took the field for, to cultivate aspasta. So is that what you're bothered by? Is that what you feel you deserve compensation for because of that spot on which the aspasta you would have otherwise cultivated aspasta? Shkol yada de aspasta vizel. So take that. It's such an insignificant amount of value. I don't know, a couple square inches of land, or maybe a square foot of land. I don't know how much can a palm tree grow in the course of the couple short years that he was there. After all, we're talking about a worker that is there for less than 7 years. So the space that the tree, the sapling, this young tree now occupies, you would have otherwise cultivated aspasta. So take that value of aspasta and leave. No, Rapo says, no, I'm not quibbling over some insignificant amount of money. I would have cultivated on that spot a very expensive type of plant. And you could see back on the Kuv Zion Mabez how that was an example of something that's worth a lot of money, maybe worth more than its weight in gold even. That's what I would have cultivated had the trees not developed there. That's a loss then. So he says back to Rav Papa, that's what you would have cultivated. Golas Adaitoch de la Mishkal vis de Luki Avdis. You have revealed that what your intention was to cultivate something that you would have then uprooted, you would have harvested and gone. Well then, I have news for you, he says to Rav Papa. Ein l'cha el demei eitzim bilvad. You can claim only the wood value of what emerged. In other words, you are saying that you would have cultivated something that you would have taken from there. Well, in reality, what arose, what emerged? Trees, which represent wood. So take wood value and leave. The Rashi explains a little further. Rashi Omale. Rashi that we're looking at is more or less across from your line or two up. From the fact that you're declaring that you would have cultivated kurka marishka, ravoi, it means to develop, to grow. Shehu dovar haniksev b'kol shana. It's something that's harvested annually. V'lo amris, and you are not saying ano toli hoyisi noiteabo l'mishkal shvachayu. I would have cultivated trees. And then demanded the increased value of trees that are now growing. That's not what you said. So you said you were going to cultivate kurka marishka. Golas adaitoch, you have revealed to us the lo nachtis lohaaro adaito lemevad boamidi debar kayoma lemesham le shvache. You never intended to work this field, to cultivate things that would have lasted a long time, which would warrant our assessing their increase in value. It's the meshem leishvachi umapik, and then receive that value and leave. Hello, midi de ta'akre v'tishkele v'tezel. All you ever intended was to cultivate things that would be uprooted and taken. He mistalkis. Well, when you leave, you Rav Papa, leave the field that you receive for aspasta development. Shkol kurka marishkoch. This is a little turn of phrase. Take your kurka marishka. In other words, you use the example gurisha, but in your context, also kurka marishka, your kurka, which is dainu toli shekaimu ba. The value of the trees that emerged, akur oisay valech, uproot them and take it. Ukshitava lakor eno ela eitzim. When you come to uproot them, as we said, these are rather young trees. All that it is some wood. Vizeh yitein lucha demei eitzim, and the owner, so he'll give you that. And I think from the context of the Gemara, that value would be much less than the increase in value represented by trees that are left there for long-term growth development. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Bevai Barabaye, Kobil Ara, Rav Bevi received land for cultivation purposes. He would receive license to cultivate someone's land. And there emerged around the field, Rashi says, Higbihu Soviv Gvuleo Ke'en Sheinhar. There emerged what would appear to us as bedrock that surrounded the field. And within that Mashunisa, Kadchuba Zardasa. Zardasa is a type of tree that apparently it's a very durable, tough kind of tree that is capable of growing in rock. And that's what happened. Rashi explains in French what kind of tree we're talking about. Hikomistalik, when Rav Bevi's tenure of work terminated, and he would leave, Omar Lahu, Shavu Li Shavhoi. He said, give me that increased value, a reference to value of these Zardasa that grew in the Meshunisa. Omar Rav Popi. Rav Popi says to Rav Bevi, now Rav Bevi Bar Abaye was from he was the son of Abaye, who traces his lineage back to Eli, the high priest, Eli Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen Gadol way back in the Mishkan period when Shmuel Hanovi, when the prophet Samuel was born. Just to give a little historical perspective, and when you study the scriptures, when you study the Nevi'im, you will see that as a result of improper conduct on the part of Eli's sons, a curse was imposed on his descendants that they would not live out a full life. In other words, we would say they would die young, or to use an expression that will have benefit for us here, is they were cut off. So you have Rav Puppy saying to Rav Bevi, Mishum da Asisu Mimuloi, because you come from a cut off family, Amrisu Mili Muliaisi, you say cut off words. There are other expressions, other translations that one could give to this, but Rav Puppy criticizing Rav Bevi's suggestion that he is entitled to the shevach of the Zardasa trees that emerged in the Meshunisa. And Rav Puppy continues, Afilu Rav Papa, Lo Omar, even Rav Papa, who wanted, he was the first diamond, the above, who wanted the increased value of the field because of the emergence of those trees, he wanted that Elo the Isle Pseida, because he felt that the emergence of the trees created a loss for him. They sprouted forth in a part of the ground that he would have cultivated. Acha my Pseida Islof, here where the trees emerged in rock, what loss is there for you? What would you have cultivated on bedrock? Nothing, obviously. So you don't have any, and here has a pun of, you don't have any grounds for expecting shevach compensation. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking scheme, a volcano. And you'll notice we also have a numbering system that accompanies these volcano markings, which continue to the upper part of Omid Beis, the Nosei / Mivne structural topic heading / structural note that appears in the margin reads Shasla. Shasla, you can see, is the word that you'll see highlighted throughout the series here. Shasla literally is someone who is his job is to plant trees, a tree planter. And we indicate Doimila Oris in terms of the way we our financial association with a shasla is the same as with an oris. They would receive a percentage and of the value that is realized through their efforts, just like an oris, a sharecropper, splits in percentage terms with the owner. The note continues, Mikrim shenidoin bohem netilas shevach, different cases where we will evaluate receipt of increased value, imhoya ksas hefsid, if in the context of where there was also some loss. Uma toikif haftochosom lazoiv beli tashlum im yigremu hefsid. And what value is there in their promise to leave their work, their position without pay in the event that they cause loss, that these shasla people cause loss? Now the Gemara. Rav Yosef Havile Hahu Shasla. Rav Yosef had a shasla working for him, the tree planter. And we mentioned that the din that applies to him is like that of an oris, a sharecropper. Shachiv, the shasla died, v'shovik chamisha chas nivosa, and he left five sons-in-law. The general idea here is that the sharecropper, when he gets rights to work the field, it's a type of right that continues to his heirs, to the next generation as well. So Rav Yosef now sees the situation that he has five survivors, we'll say, outlived their father-in-law. Omar, Rav Yosef says to himself, Ad ho'id nochad. Until now, it was one. Hashto chamisha. Now, I have to deal with five. Ad ho'id no, until now, lo havu somchu ahadodi v'lo mafsidu li. Until now, there was only one person responsible for the work, and he knew that if he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And with that, so I had no loss. Hashto chamisha, now there are five, somchu adodi, umafsuduli, each one is going to think that the other one is going to do the work. So each one is relying on the next one. And as you know very well, nothing will get done, and I will experience a loss. My field won't produce. Omar luhu, now Rav Yosef speaks, and you'll notice we have a long marking. So all of this is Rav Yosef's speech to them. Ishaklisu shavchaichu umistalksisu mutov. If you take the shevach, the increased value that is due to you, well, take it and leave, and things will be good. V'ilo, and if not, misalikno lechu belo shvacha. I'm going to remove you without your getting any compensation for the increased value. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Vitema Rav Huna, Vitema Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, and some say Rav Huna, some say Rav Nachman, says, Hai Shasla de Shachiv, a Shasla that dies, Yorshim Dilei, Mistalkin Lehu Belo Shvacha. His heirs can be removed from the field without any compensation for the increased value. Now, the Gemara itself says, V'lav milsahi. It says that last point, that they can be removed without shevach, is not true, or certainly it's not, we will not rule like that. Hahu shasla, the Omar lahu, another case, as you can see, we've numbered this number two. I mafsidno mistalakno. The shasla said to the owner, if I cause loss, I will leave. Afsid, He caused loss. However, you must see Rashi, because this is, just to leave it in translation, will be a misunderstanding of the Gemara. Rashi, on the first line under the Gemara text, Afsid, Mai da Ashbach Kvar. He caused a loss. There was a loss in improvement that had been realized. Miu Akati Havishvacha. Here you have, we've dashed underlined, this is the key thing. There still was some improvement. There was some increase in value as a result of this worker's efforts. Just to repeat, there's a worker that created, we'll say, a significant amount of increase of appreciation. In the course of time, though, a lot of that appreciation was depreciated. And now, Rashi goes on, U'mistalakno dekomar, the worker that said when that I will leave, he meant I will leave below shvocha komar, without taking any share of the increased value. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Omar of Yehuda, mistalek below shvocha. Rav Yehuda says he leaves without any a share of the appreciation. And as we saw in the Rashi, there was some appreciation that still existed. But Rav Yehuda says he leaves without any shevach. Rav Kahana Omar mistalek v'shokil shvocha. We take a look at Rashi. Rav Kahana Omar, the hochi komar, what the worker had said, I mafsidno mistalikno al korchi. If I cause loss, I will leave, even against my will. I will agree to be forced off. If sounds maybe like a inherent contradiction, but that's what al korchi means. He declares at the outset, I will leave, even if it turns out to be against my will. V'shakilna maidash b'choi. However, I will take whatever appreciation I was responsible for. So that if on the balance sheet there remains a plus on the appreciation side, Rav Kahana rules he is due to receive that. Let's continue in the Gemara. Umoida Rav Kahana, the Omar, Rav Kahana will concede that if he said, Ipasidno mistalakno below shvacha, here in his opening remarks, he declares he forfeits any appreciation that may remain, mistalik below shvacha. There, as far as Rav Kahana is concerned, he made it very clear that he would be willing to leave without receiving any appreciation, even if there had remained some. This, of course, is in contrast with the unqualified statement, mistalakna, that we saw before. There, Rav Kahana ruled otherwise, because he didn't declare, I'm forfeiting my shevach. We continue in the Gemara. Rava, on this last point, disagrees with Rav Kahana. Omar asmachtahi, his statement that I will leave without taking any shevach is a mere asmachta. It's a statement that's not made with conviction, with seriousness, with intent. The asmachta lo kanya. And as such, declarations of that nature, namely declarations without intent, are not binding. The Gemara asks, "Ulorava maishno mehadisnan." What's different between this case that we just had, where he said, "I will leave without compensation for appreciation," where Rava says he will receive compensation, mehadisnan, from the following Tanaic source, where a worker declares, "Im ovir, if I leave the field fallow, velo avid, and do not cultivate it." Ashalem b'meifa, I will compensate you, the owner, for the loss. And that's viewed as a serious statement. The Gemara makes a distinction. Hasam, in that case where we say it's a serious statement, my da'afsid mishalem, there he caused a total loss by not working the field. So as such, as being responsible for a total loss, he has to compensate the owner. Hacha, my da'afsid, in this case, with the shasla, that which was lost in the total picture, namely there was some depreciation, menakin onlay, so that we subtract the idach, but the amount of appreciation that remained, yahavin onlay, that he receives. And that, of course, is what we have to do, and that's not what the individual declared, I will leave without any compensation, because, as Rava said, that was an asmachta, that was a statement that was made without intent. We have on the side a tatnose, a subcategory heading, and we will see in the course of this piece of Gemara, five sugei ovdim, five types of workers or occupations, she'efshir lefatrom leloy hasra, that it is possible to remove them, to discontinue their employment without warning. The Gemara. This is now example or case number three of the Shaslaw series. Runya, that's a name like Ron or Ronnie. Runya, Shaslo de Ravina Have. Ravina had a field and he had a tree planter that worked for him. His name was Runya. Afsid, and he caused loss. Salke, and Ravina removed him, said, you can go home. Osula Kame de Rava. The worker came to Rava. Omale, Chazi Mor Mai Kovidli. Do you see what he did to me? He fired me. Omale Shafir Ovid, Ravina acted within the law. He did well. In other words, he was okay. He's on the right side of the law in firing you. Omale Holo Hasrabi. But the worker says, but he didn't warn me. Omale Lo Tzricha Lahasros. There's no expectation in your line of work that dismissal has as a prerequisite a warning. Rava litame, and Rava in ruling thusly is consistent with a general ruling of his, the Omar Rava, and here we list five occupations that their dismissal does not require any warning. Makridardiki, an elementary educator, children teacher. Dardiki, or children, Makri, is one who teaches Mikra. Mikra is specifically a reference to the written Torah, the scriptures, which traditionally would be studied by a teacher hired to be the elementary school teacher. So he's the Makri Dardiki, the Shasla, the tree planter, Tabcha, someone who is hired to slaughter animals, the Umna. As far as what an Umna is, there are different explanations. One shot is, that Rashi says here, is a Moyal Tinoikas, he who performs circumcisions. Rashi on Daf Tzadi Zayin with Aleph said it's a bloodletter. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'sapar Masa. A Sapar Masa, one explanation, is a town barber. There's a reference to a Tosfos in Bava Basra Chof Aleph in which you can see a more expanded discussion on what that is, but we're giving one explanation. These five, Kulan, Kamusrin, V'Oimdin, Dami, they're all considered like having been warned. Even without a formal, explicit warning, they are considered warned, and in the event that they mess up, they can be relieved, released, without warning. Klola de Milsa, the general rule is, kol pseido de lahadar, losses that cannot be recovered. If you're hired to slaughter an animal and you mess up in the slaughtering, that's it. It's an irrecoverable loss. Kemusrin, from word hasra. Musrin means warned. Kemusrin v'oyim din dom, it's as if they're pre-warned. There's a bit of a discussion concerning the makridartiki. Where is the issue of loss that cannot be recovered? So Rashi suggests that it's because when the child learns a mistake becomes rooted, and it's very, very hard to undo it. Tosfos on the top of Omid Beis over here, Dibrasa Sapar Masa, really it should have been Makri Dardiki, is the more accurate Dibor Hamasal of the Tosfos, says that Rashi's pshat is difficult to accept because the author of this statement is Rava, and Rava in Maseches Bava Basra deals with this topic, and it is true that over there is an opinion that says that once a mistake is learned, it's difficult to undo it. But that's not Rava's opinion. Rava disagrees, and he says that mistakes go away in the course of time. They simply dissipate through continued learning and review. They dissipate on their own. So it's not in the learning of a mistake in that sense is not called irreversible. What then is the pshat according to Tosfos? The pshat, the explanation is that the time that teacher was teaching the mistake, a mistake is not truth. It's not Torah to speak of to teach children that a pig is a kosher variety animal is a mistake. To classify teachings that are erroneous as Torah is simply untrue. A mistake is a mistake. It's sheker. It's false. It's not Torah. Torah is emes, is truth. So that the teacher during that time that he was teaching falsehood, he wasn't teaching Torah. So that period of time, we'll say of learning the mistake, that time is irrecoverable. You can't restore the time. So information wise, that's not necessarily the permanent loss, but the irrecoverable loss is the time. And if I may, editorial note, if you will, one has to consider in the course of one's learning, if one has, well, to say, access to a correct pshat, a correct understanding, an accurate teaching, and does not take advantage of we'll call it the source material that could provide accurate learning, and opts rather, I call it the try and fail method, where people will try to understand something without taking advantage of, we'll say, available assistance, available support, and in the course of the trial and fail method, you have trial and fail. You have time that is invested in learning that which is simply not the truth, something that's inaccurate. One has to evaluate, is that considered a proper way of pursuing Torah learning when, as I say, the means of learning in a correct fashion are readily available? I'd like to also point out that one should look in Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes Omer Aleph, and one will discover that the role of the Torah teacher is, in fact, he is there to convey the basic understanding of Torah knowledge. He gives over what we call in the yeshiva jargon the poshup shat, the basic meaning, the basic understanding. When it comes to the analysis of Torah and you're analyzing different aspects there, it becomes a much more, let's say, flexible area, where in fact the Torah, where the Gemara there on Daf Yud Tes itself, and if you look carefully over the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll see that one is expected to do on his own. But the basic understanding of Torah is to be given over. Some use the term spoon-fed or silver platter or whatever, but it's designed to be given over in an as accurate fashion as possible. And not to take advantage of that, but rather to pursue a method of study where one is, once again I emphasize, where the let's say accurate sources are available, and one shuns the use of those, one has to question seriously the value in terms of what we are mentioning now. You're spending time studying something or understanding something in an incorrect fashion, and as I said, to approach a section of Torah through the trial and fail method, and in the course suggest the likes of saying that that a pig is allowed because it has split hooves, well, that's simply an inaccurate statement, and it's not Torah. We might call that Bittul Torah, in fact. And as I say, I qualify everything I said, once again, based on Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes, and the Tosfos that you see over here on the top of the page, and making the assumption that one has the means and the tools that are available to gain immediate, accurate understanding. And all of that is within the realm of the basic pshat, we'll say the simple, basic understanding before the stage of Torah analysis. We continue in the Gemara, number 4, Hahu Shaslo, the Omar Lahu, Havu Li Shavchoi. It was a worker that was engaged in planting trees, who said, give me my share in the increased value. Deboino lemesak le'aro d'Israel. I want to leave the exile and travel and settle in the land of Israel. In effect, he wants to leave early. Also lekamei d'Rav Papa bar Shmuel. So the case came to Rav Papa. Is he entitled to receive the increase in value before, we'll say, before the end of his work term? Omar lehu havu le shvachei. And Rav Papa rules, give him whatever increased value that he produced, even though he's departing early. Omar le Rava. Rava asks Rav Papa, you're saying give him all the increased value? Ihu ashbach aro lo ashbach. He has the sole right to the increased value. Is it not true that the land also is responsible for the increase in value? The nutrients that were drawn from the land, etc. And the land belongs to an owner. So why do you give us the impression that all of the interim appreciation is to be paid to the worker? Omar Le, Rav Papa said, you're right. Ana pago de shvocha kamina. I meant half of the increase value of the land as a result of the Shaslaw's work. Omar Le, Rava responds, ad ho'idna, until now, meaning the original work arrangement, hava shokil ba'al abayas palga v'shasla palga, the owner would receive half and the shasla would receive half. Hashta, but now that he's leaving early and we have undone work, boyi lemesav monsalarisa, the owner is going to have to hire a sharecropper, and the going rate of sharecroppers to continue the work on an already planted vineyard is a third. So the owner is then going to be losing out if you just take things on the surface of what seems to be happening. Is the shaslo is going to leave early. He's going to get half the shevach. He's going to half the appreciation, and the owner is going to have to take out of his half and pay the sharecropper the third that's due to him. What's the owner going to be left with? Very little. Omar Lay, so Rav Papa says, responds, when I said give the worker half, I meant riv'a d'shvacha kwamina. Here we explain, we'll literally translate, a quarter of the shevach is what I intended for the shasla to receive. My thinking at this point with regard to Rav Papa's response, he said a quarter of the shevach is what I meant, is Rav Papa's explanation of his original statement when he said, or his earlier statement, when he said, I meant for the shasla to receive half the shevach. What does it mean, half? Rava pointed out that what if he's going to get half, then the balabais is going to lose. So Rav Papa said, no, I didn't mean a full half, as if he were one that is remaining full term. I meant half of what he's expected to get. How much would he have? What's the total amount he would have received? He would have received half of the appreciation. So now he's getting half of that. Half of a half, in fact, is one quarter. However, we're not going to leave things at that. Sovar Rav Ashi Lemeimar. And you'll notice we have a new marking, a crown shape. And on the side of the Gemara, these crowns here and a number of lines later, Rav Acha appears in one, are Deos al Chalukas Aschar, opinions on how to divide the value, Bein Hashaslo, Heoris Ubalabayas, between the tree planter who left early, the Oris who has to finish off the work, and the owner. So in the upcoming lines of Gemara, the next, we'll say, half of the Omid, we'll be dealing with some arithmetic. Sovar Rav Ashi, the word Sovar indicates an initial point of thought. Almost always when you see that word, Sovar, it indicates that a change will appear later. And that is what you're going to see later on. So Sovar Rav Ashi Lemeimar. Riv'a, the quarter that Rav Papa made reference to, Dehu Danka, it's really 1/6. How do we get to that? So it's going to be, we're going to explain that we're going to have to give the sharecropper off the top, we're going to give him 1/3. He's coming to do a job, to finish off a job. He gets 1/3. How much is left? What's the balance? Well, then there would be 2/3 of the shevach. And Rav Ashi is thinking that when Rav Papa says that the shasla is entitled to a quarter, he's going to get 1/4 of the balance, of the 2/3. And what is 1/4 of 2/3? So if you change everything into, we'll say, lowest common denominator, 2/3 is also 4/6. I emphasize 4/6. So 1/4 of 4/6 is 1/6. So Rav Ashi's thinking is that Rav Papa's reference to a quarter is a quarter of two-thirds, which is really a sixth. The Omar Rav Menumi Braid Rav Nechumi. Ba'asro de Shokil Shaslo Palgo Va'riso Tilso, in a locale where a Shaslo would ordinarily get half. And I'm going to be using fractions to help in the calculation, changing the fractions of the Gemara to, lowest common denominator situations. So the palga we can explain as 3/6. The arisa tilsa, and in that locale, an oris, if he were to come on the scene to complete a work in progress, he would get tilsa 1/3. Well, 1/3 is also can be understood as 2/6. Given that as background, as a foundation, as a given, we continue with our situation. Hi Shasla Deboy Listaluki, a Shasla that wants to leave early. Yavino Le Shvacha, we will give him some of the value of the appreciation, the interim appreciation. Umisalkino Le, and we then remove him. Kiheshi, in such a way, the Lo Nimte Hefsid Labalabayas, so that the owner doesn't experience any loss. E amris bishlama riva dehudanka shapir. If you say that the quarter that the shasla who's leaving early gets is 1/4 of 2/3, which in effect is 1/6, shapir, then the balabayas will not lose out. Why is that? Because the shasla will get 1/6, the oris gets 1/3. Well, 1/3 is 2/6. How much is left from the full amount? Well, we just accounted for 1/3, for 1/6 and 2/6. That's 3/6. That's a half. So there remains a half for the balabais. That's what the balabais was supposed to get from the outset. Shapir means this calculation is good. Eloi Amris Riva Mamish Ka Moti Leib Seidu Labalabayas Palgadanka. If, however, you're going to say that what Rav Papa meant when he said 1/4 is literally 1/4, then the Balabayas will be absorbing a loss. How much of a loss? Palgadanka. Palgadanka is 1/2 of a sixth. Well, 1/2 of a sixth, I'm sure most of you have already calculated, is 1/12. A sixth is also could be understood as 2/12. So if you were to make the calculation with the, we'll say, incorrect assumption, at least at this point, namely that 1/4 that Rav Papa Bar Shmuel intended for the Shasla to receive was literally 1/4, let's go through the calculations. First, we look at the total picture. The 100% picture is 12 twelfths. 12 twelfths is one complete, 100%. If you're going to give the Shasla a literal 1/4, what's 1/4 in using the as the denominator? Twelfths. 3/12. Is that right? 1/4. Is also 3/12. How many 3/12 are there in a whole? 4. There are 4 times 3/12 is a whole. So 3/12 represents 1/4. So the Shasla would get 3/12. The Oris, well, we said 1/3 is due to him. So if you convert 1/3 into 12ths, what do you get? You get 4/12. Why is 1/3 4/12? Well, if you take 4/12 and you multiply it 3 times, you get to 12/12. That's a whole. 1/3 then is 4/12. So we're going to give the Shasla according to the non-Ravashi understanding of Rav Papa. You're going to give the Shasla 3/12. You're going to give your Oris, who's hired to complete the work in progress, 1/3, 4/12. That's 7/12. 7/12 is more than half. What's half? 6/12. You're going to give these workers 7/12. How much is the Baal HaBayis going to get? 5/12. How much is due to the Baal HaBayis? Half. 6/12. So we have a discrepancy or a difference or an outstanding balance of 1/12 that's due to the Baal HaBayis that he's not going to be getting. That's what the Gemara meant when it said that if you're going to take the riva, the quarter, literally, the Baal HaBayis is going to then absorb a loss of Pal Gadanka. Half of a sixth, which we already illustrated, is 1/12. Omar le Rav Acha bre Rav Yosef le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha responds to Rav Ashi and says, Vale mole, let the Shasla say to the Baal HaBayis, Ano, ant, monsa diloch, havle larisa. From your portion, you pay the oris. The ano, monsa dili, my deboino, avidna bay. And I, the Shasla, with my portion, I will do with it what I please. Now this is rather abbreviated, but we'll try to explain. Once again, some arithmetic. The Shasla, in fact, has a claim of 1/4 of the entire amount. He's leaving early, so he doesn't get, obviously, a complete half. He gets half of the half. He gets a quarter off the top. You'll say, well then, isn't the Baal HaBayis going to be experiencing a loss? So Rav Acha says, no, the Baal HaBayis won't experience a loss. What about the Oris that he has to hire? So he'll hire the Oris to work on the Baal HaBayis's portion. What's the Baal HaBayis's portion? If you are going to give a quarter to the Shasla, 3/4 will be left for the Baal HaBayis. The Oris will work on the 3/4. How much does the Oris get? We said he gets a third. Well, what's a third of 3/4? 1/4. Okay. How much is left after you remove 1/4 from 3/4? 2/4. 2/4 is a half. And that's what is left for the Baal HaBayis. Rav Ashi, upon hearing this, was very impressed. And once again, as we point out from time to time in Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, the appreciation of honesty, of truthfulness, is something that is admirable on the part of many, many of our great sages. And I say many, meaning where you see it reflected in explicit terms. Here Rav Ashi had his own idea on the matter, but he accepted the correction or the he'ora of Rav Acha. And he said, you know, you're a very sharp fellow. Omar, Rav Ashi said, Ki motis l'shchitas kochim. When you get to the study of Maseches Zvachim, Shchitas Kodshim means the slaughtering, the tractate that deals with the slaughtering of sacrifices. That, of course, is Maseches Zvachim, which is understood or known to be a very deep area of study, requiring a lot of analysis and thought. So when you get there, Tov Akshili, come and present your questions to me there. You're a very sharp thinker, and your questions will certainly generate thought and analysis on my part, and I would welcome that opportunity. So Rav Ashi, in saying that, is complimenting Rav Acha's abilities in Torah study. Rashi offers a second opinion, but immediately rejects it. So we're going to leave it at that. We continue. Gufa. This is a quote from something we saw above, and that you can see the arrow can be aligned with the arrow above. Omar Rav Menyumi Bray de Rav Nechumi Ba'asr de Shokil Shasla Palga Varisa Tilsa, in a town where a Shasla would ordinarily receive a half, and if he stays full term, and an Oris receives Tilsa a third for completing a work in progress. Hai Shasla de Boy Listaluki, a tree planter that wants to leave prematurely, Yavino Le Shvoche, he is paid his share in the appreciation. Umasalkino Le Kiechi de la Lifsid Balabayas, and he is removed with a financial adjustment in such a way that the owner doesn't lose out. Omar Rav Menyumi Bray de Rav Nechumi. It's the same name as the statement number one here, hence we have one and then two. Kupa Sava Palga Shatfanaro Riva. Kupa Sava is a vine, a grapevine that became old, that aged. And Rashi explains, in the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Kupa Sava Palga, Gefen Shig Zgino Bekerem. There was a vineyard, a kerem is a vineyard, and there was a vine that became old. Harehu kishar zmoros, it has then the status of other branches. Shechokin bohem, that worker and owner divide. V'noita boshas lepalga, kishar peros, he, the planter, will receive half of the wood, like he receives half of the fruits. Tekevon de'urcha bochi, adaita dochi nocha, since this is all normal, it's part of the normal course of events. Vines age, and therefore, when he entered the work, when he accepted the work, it was with this understanding that vines that age and no longer produce fruits, the wood of those vines is split. There's another situation that might arise that Rav Menyumi points out. Shotfanara, a river floods the field, and work cannot continue. What happens in the course of the flood, plants might get uprooted, or the field simply loses its agricultural value, its cultivation potential. This situation is like early departure. And with regard to early departure, we already saw the Shasla gets Riva. He gets a quarter. So whatever wood is available for distribution, in the case of a inundation of the field, the worker will get a quarter of the whatever wood is recoverable and not half. Hahu Gavra. Actually, before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading. In the realm of Bemashkanta, Mashkanta is collateral, where a lender, in exchange for extending a loan, he receives from the borrower a field for collateral purposes. And the mashkanta arrangement, without getting involved, in order to avoid the problem of interest, there are situations that the lender is able to eat fruits from that field, and without getting into deals with us, we discussed this much earlier in the Masichta, in the fifth parak, and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, there are different arrangements where, just for superficial purposes, we'll say that in the course of eating the fruits, so that affects a reduction in the principal value of the loan to be returned, so that you do not violate interest in this arrangement. That's a mashkata. Ilon sheyovash biglal shizkina, a tree that was in this field that aged, it dried out because of age. U bizmano, on time, nothing out of the ordinary, not some type of premature drying out. Ma dinam shelo etzim. What is the rule with regard to the wood. Abaye says pira. It's viewed as the fruits. And what does that mean then? The malve will simply take the wood of these dried out vines for himself. He takes them just like he was taking the fruits from that field. Rava says keren. It's not pira, it's rather viewed as principle. And how then do we deal with the wood of these dried out vines? We take the wood and buy a small piece of land, and the lender would continue benefiting from the fruits of that newly acquired land. But something that's classified as principal is something that must be preserved on behalf of the original owner, on behalf of the borrower. Hence this idea of buying land and giving the fruits of the newly acquired land to the lender. After presenting the machlokas Abaye and Rava, triangles will appear in the Gemara, and they represent kushyas Abaye. They represent challenges to Abaye's approach. Now the Gemara. Hahu gavra demashkin pardesa lechavre li'eser shanin. There was a man that gave as collateral a pardes, a grove of fruit trees, to his friend who lent him money. And the idea was that the lender would have this mashkin for 10 years. V'kosh l'chomesh shanin. And the trees aged in a normal fashion after 5 years. Abaye Omar Pirahave. The dried out trees are viewed as fruit, and the malve takes it. Of course, we mentioned before that it's all part of an arrangement where as a result of his getting this, the principal value of the loan will be reduced so that we don't encounter interest problems. Rava Omar, Rava on the other hand says, Karna Have, the dried out vines, the dried out wood that were once fruit trees, is viewed as principal. The Lokach Bo Karka, Vuhu Ochel Peros, and a new parcel of land is to be purchased with that wood value, and the lender will continue eating the fruits of that newly purchased land. When the loan is paid up, so the borrower will then have exclusive rights to that piece of land that was purchased. Mesve, and we raise a question on Abaye. And we have this first source deals with a mashkon, the very topic that we're dealing with. Yovash o'ilan o'niktas, a tree dried out or was cut down. Shneim asurin bo, lender and borrower are forbidden in taking the wood. Ketzad yasu, what should they do? Yimkiru le'etzim, the lokach b'mkarka v'lochal peros, the wood is sold in exchange for that land is purchased with that money for the sold wood, and the lender eats the fruits. In one word, that presents the dried out wood, the dried out vines, as keren, as principal. My love, yovash dumia deniksas. In understanding the case here, are we not to make the assumption that the drying out described here is similar to niksas, cut down? Ma niksas bizmano, just like the idea of cutting down is at its time, when it is no longer bearing fruit, it's dried out. Af yovesh bizmano, so to the case of yovesh, of it drying out, was at its expected life expectancy, at its expected time. Fikotoni, and it taught in the source, Yilokach Bohen Karkavochel Peros, that land is bought and the lender continues eating fruits. Alma Karnahavi. You see from here that wood that dries out in its expected time is treated as principal, and that's not like Abaye. Lo, that's not the case over here. Abaye and Rava Abaye described wood that dries out at its time. But here, Nixas Dumya Diyovesh, the case of it being cut down is parallel to drying out. Ma Yovesh Belos Mano. Af Nixas Belos Mano, just like the drying out, it was premature, was unexpected. So too, the case of cut down was premature. Now, let's look at Rashi together. Second line from the bottom, below Zmano, Umoda Abaye below Zmano, Shechod Alasos Pri, Abaye concedes that in a case like that, where it was premature and it stopped producing fruits, the Kevin de Lav Urche, since it's unusual, it's not expected, so Lav Pira Hu, we can't view it as the fruits. Fruits, as far as Abaye is concerned, are things that come out, appear in a natural form, natural rhythm. This premature drying out is unusual. And it was not with this intent that he originally descended to work the field. We saw this concept before in the Rashi Kupasava that we read before. The treating of the wood as fruits is a function of something that was anticipated at the outset. That's not the case over here where it dries out prematurely. So Abaye will concede that a case like this, we're not going to view it as pura, but rather as principle and act accordingly. We continue in the Gemara, Toshma. Now, this source is not dealing with collateral, but we'll call it the analysis. How do we view trees that dry out as either principal or fruit can be illustrated here as well. So what's the situation that we're going to learn about? A woman, after getting married, her father died, and she was an heiress. There were no brothers, so she is a, let's just say for simplicity purposes, an only daughter. She inherits her father's property. A married woman who brings properties into her marriage, the arrangement is that the principal value stays with the woman. The husband has control over the fruits. The Gemara. Toshma, Noflu lo gifanim v'zesim zekenim. Woman inherited old vines and olive trees. Old, meaning that they're not producing fruit anymore. So there's only we'll call it the wood value. We continue at the top of Daf Kuf Yud. Imachru li'etzim. They're sold as wood. V'ilokach bohen karka v'orchel peros. The wood is then sold and the money is used to buy land. And the husband continues eating the fruits of this purchased land. Now, if the trees were viewed as peri, the husband would have been entitled to the wood off the top, straight off. Yet, we see that the dried out trees are not given to the husband. They're sold, land bought, and from that newly acquired land, the husband uses the fruits. So we see that the attitude toward dried out trees is one of principal value. The Gemara responds and says, and that, of course, would have been a problem for Abaye. So Gemara answers on behalf of Abaye, Emo v'hizkinu. They all of a sudden became old. Not that she inherited old trees. She inherited healthy trees. But something overcame them, some type of, ailment, causing rapid aging and depreciation of the trees, into mere wood. And therefore, as we said before, therefore they're considered principal and not fruits. And of course Abaye agrees under those circumstances. V'iboyesema, another approach, lav miukimno lahi, is there not one who explained that source with the woman inheriting the trees? Kigon shenaflu la bisada cheres. She inherited trees that her father owned, but her father owned only the trees. They were trees that he bought in someone else's field. If we take the trees and treat them as pira, let's assume for the time being that the trees became old on time, but they were not, they were trees that the woman inherited in isolation. She did not inherit any land with it. And the trees aged in a normal fashion. Abaye says in general, it's viewed as pira. However, in this case, if we give the trees to the husband, the woman will be left with nothing of that inheritance. That's what is meant by these words, to call kalya karna. Kalya means to finish off, karna the principle. The principle is finished off. Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, besod acheres, shelo hoisa karka shelo, the land on which the trees were located was not hers. Shoydekolim besod shel acherim, the trees were in someone else's field. Takaya karnadi dolagamri I amris delishkalinu baalukulu. We will be depriving the woman of everything. In other words, we will be diminishing her inheritance in total if we give the wood to the husband. So that even though in general, with regard to other areas, we would view the dried out wood that dries out on time as pira, not in a case where it's going to impinge on the woman's inheritance, leaving her with nothing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.